Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Behold, victory is yours in the name of Jesus. A very good afternoon to you. If you've just tuned in, you're still listening to Radio Pulpit. My name is Lukom Kwedi Puti, and I'm absolutely thrilled to be joining you on this beautiful Friday afternoon. And starting it on a very great and exciting note, I must say. And you'll find out in a second from now why exactly it's a great afternoon. You haven't heard them in quite a while. But today I have, I don't know if I should call them our regulars, because we haven't had them in a long time. But Dr. Johan Slabbert and Dr. Johannes Slabbert, right? Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi, Luko. Lovely to be back. Afternoon, Luko.
Good to have you back. It's really been a while, but I'm super excited to have you back on air again.
Oh, thank you so much. Lovely being with you and the listeners.
Oh, man, absolutely amazing. And today, what are we talking about? I think let me get it from you first.
Okay. So at Pentagon, we have a specific program that we run for young business leadership development.
Mm-hmm.
And with Youth Day coming up, we thought it is probably, you know, appropriate to talk about young leadership development.
Oh, man, that's really beautiful, because like you're saying, Youth Day is coming up on Monday. I feel embarrassed to say this, but I did not know that Youth Day was on Monday already until I think about 2 days ago. And I think it's because I don't really feel that young anymore. I'm guessing I don't.
Luka, it's just a number. It's just a number.
No. I really don't feel as young anymore. But anyway, I'm turning 35 next year. So I am exiting next year already. Maybe that's why I'm already losing the feel of Youth Day. But I think I'll start with Dr. Johan this afternoon. If you can tell us, why is it so critical to begin, you know, leadership development immediately after high school instead of waiting until university or the workplace?
Yeah. You know, look, the transition out of high school is arguably one of the most formative phases in a young person's life.
Yeah.
And it's not just academic or a professional shift. It's a deeply personal one, and it's deeply rooted in identity and identity development.
Hmm.
So at Pentagon, we believe that leadership doesn't begin with a title or a degree. It begins with, you know, being self-aware. It begins with the investigation or reflection on one's values and life purpose and meaning. And those foundations are laid before most formal training in leadership or management ever begins. So, you know, globally, we continue to face a massive leadership crisis, and it's not because there's a shortage of qualified professionals, but there is a huge shortage of emotionally resilient, or what we would refer to as individuals with the ability to self-regulate emotions.
Sure.
And there's a huge shortage of ethical behavior within individuals. And the workplace is filled with leaders who know what to do, but, you know, are still at a point where they have no idea who they are. And that is the gap that we identified and that we addressed through the Pentagon Young Business Leader Development Program.
Mm.
So by the time that most leadership, you know, training start, probably in the region of about 25 to 30, up until about 40 years of age, people are often already carrying deep, entrenched, unexamined trauma. Based on life experiences, based on tough experiences where we used emotion to make sense of them, and And because we weren't really ready to deal with them, we suppress them deeply into the shadow. We end up with fixed patterns of behavior.
Sure.
And we also end up with, you know, self-defense mechanism, ego structures that is just, you know, too rigid to shift. And that's why our young leaders or business leadership development program intervenes early. We engage school leavers and young adults when their identity is still fluid, values are still being formed. Those wounds, you know, the ego wounding and the ego scarring that just happens all naturally as a mechanism to help them navigate life are still fresh. And you know, sort of making it the perfect moment to help these, you know, young leaders, the emerging leader, to cultivate emotional intelligence, but also spiritual resilience and a sense of life purpose and meaning. So these programs, our programs, isn't just about skills. Of course, you know, skills is important,
yeah.
But, you know, it's not just about skill. It's about soul. It's about essence. It's about the true self. It's about who you are beneath the ego defense mechanisms, who you are beneath the anger, the fear, or the shame that drives habitual behavior. It's about raising the individuals who don't just seek success, but are looking for significance.
Yeah, yeah.
It's to sort of position the youngster or that young leader coming through, not to get used to survival, but to sort of position them to thrive. And also, you know, help them to move from a sense of paranoia to a sense of metanoia. You know, it's not just the chasing of titles, but to seek impact and to understand that leadership isn't about power and control. You know, there's so much we see on TV, and there's so many of these role models, and which is really not good for our young emerging leaders to follow those role models that think leadership is all about power and control. It's not. It's about service.
Yeah.
And having a job is not a prerequisite for leadership development. I think in one of the previous conversations that we spoke about, I might have mentioned that there's three levels of leadership development. You get everyday leadership, organizational leadership, and then what we term transcendent identity-based leaders. Now, everyday leadership is school leadership, leadership council, and it's also within families. It is leadership within families. It is leadership amongst friends. It's leadership in sport and recreation. So that's everyday leadership. Then we have organizational leadership, where we start moving into organizations, businesses, nonprofits, associations, where we have to plan, organize, lead, control, and follow up aspects within an organization to lead a group of people towards a common goal in such a way that they have fun. And then we move to that level where we are invited to, but which not a lot of us get to, and that's the transcendent identity-based leadership. It means is to lead beyond your own ego needs. It is really to move beyond transformation into an environment where you open for God and the Spirit to work inside in the process of transfiguration. So when we look at leadership over all three of those levels, it's important to teach them, first of all, to lead themselves. There is no way that you can lead any team or any individual if you do not have the ability to lead and control yourself. It is important for us to teach them also to be in leadership of their own lives and so much less so of their own choices, and to do it in the now. So you know, that early foundation that makes all the difference. Because a young person who knows who they are, and in that sense have been introduced to the ego wounding, have been introduced to why is it that I find myself instinctively angry or fearful or shameful, to be introduced to that part of yourself, but then also to be made aware that there's a larger self within you that is naturally wired with love, compassion, and care. Those are the individuals that end up not or not allowing to be manipulated by power, approval, yeah, or fear. These are the guys that at the end of the day, and I've seen it in my own research over and over, is that these are the guys that end up leading with clarity, mm, and then a sense of authentic identity, authenticity, who am I?
Yeah.
And it's also that individual that at the end of the day lead with compassion and care and mercy.
Yeah.
And that's not to say, and it's not to say that when you lead with clarity or an authentic identity, a true self, or lead with compassion and care and mercy, that it means you do it at the cost of standards. No,
exactly.
You still have to get the job done. But it's just the intent and the motive behind your behavior. And that is what we need. That is what the globe is crying for, not just in South Africa.
Mm.
It's a global cry. Can we please find leaders that lead with clarity, that are happy with uncertainty, complexity, ambiguity, and volatility? They are happy to be introduced to their wounding so that they can get in control of it.
Exactly.
So that they don't, you know, sort of habitually just show up angry and they're not really, you know, aware of why. Or
yeah,
I show up with a lack of confidence and I don't know why. It's really to get to know yourself. And if that happens, there's a natural transformation that takes place from a fragmented human to an holistic human.
Sure.
And that is the basis of, I believe, and that's my passion. I mean, I keep on writing about spiritual leadership and academic articles, and I'm about to launch a book on transcendent leadership. Is that spiritual leadership is the future, and spirituality is a super intelligence. And as such, is seen as the intelligence to integrate all other intelligence, whether it is IQ, whether it is emotional intelligence, whether it is social intelligence, whether it is foresight intelligence, whether it is cultural intelligence. We need the spiritual intelligence for the integration, and hence it's such a passion for us to start working. You know, with a group, we've just finished a group of 8 young leaders, and it is just such a blessing to see God working in these youngsters, to see how they transform, and just to see how they build confidence and how they build inner strength. It's an absolute blessing and a grace to see these youngsters develop, and then knowing that they are now sitting with the right foundation to really become part of the solution to the global leadership crisis.
Sure. This is absolutely amazing, Dr. Johan. As you're speaking, I think you just put two words and more into context. A conversation I was having with a friend, I think, just yesterday, she was telling me about how she resigned from her work end of last year. And she says, yeah, you know what, Luko, it's not that I'm well off, but I'm not even ready to go back into the market again because of the bullying that I experienced at work last year. And I was just saying to her, what I'll never understand, and the problem is that we find ourselves being led by unled people. You know, they have no sense of leadership. They don't know what leadership means. They're bosses/bullies and not necessarily leaders, because they don't even know what that feels like for themselves to be led. And it's sad because most of them have been through these same experiences. I think recently, I don't know if you guys know about it, there was a story in the news of a doctor, and a friend of mine who's a doctor always complains about how these consultant doctors bully, you know, intern and junior doctors into work, no matter how they feel, to a point where a junior doctor in KZN died because he was sick. He had a sick note. He was forced to work and he died on duty. So this for me, I'm like, it's sad because this consultant doctor also understood the pain because she was once treated in that same light. And so for me, like really, I'm excited because you started while they're still young and they grow with it. They don't get to high leadership positions and led themselves to a point where the only picture of leadership they have is bullism.
Absolutely. And to always keep in mind, a leader that is generally unreasonable or with a lack of heart and soul in behavior is a leader that lacks heart and soul to themselves as well.
Exactly.
These are leaders that are struggling with early childhood wounding, you know, the bullying, the it is really at a level where I know personally through our own children is that the institutions are currently really, really struggling with this whole bullying thing.
Yeah.
And also the fact in terms of how to control it, because remember, you don't just get a child that starts to bully. That's a behavior that's learned from a parent.
Yep.
So it is so vital that we reevaluate our responsibility in having children. And then to make sure that we do not drive this transgenerational trauma. What I had, I give it on to my kids and they give it on to their kids. It's important that we break that cycle. And it is so important that we cultivate and as I often would say, to recalibrate our leadership out there is to say, it's okay to be fearful. It's okay to feel vulnerable. Mm-hmm. You are not supposed to be the perfect human being.
Yeah.
You don't need to pretend to be it, because the minute you pretend to be it, then you've got this thing that you have to live up to.
Yeah.
And that is where the mad behavior comes in. That is where you start behaving in a way or following a role model that is not really you. And it's really something that needs to be addressed. But the best time to address it is when the guys are young.
Yes. You know, in Xhosa, we have a proverb that says, "Ligotywa lisemanzi." In other words, you bend a stick while it's still wet before it's
absolutely,
you know, brittle. So I'm excited. But what you guys are doing in lives of young people, I just heard that you guys just had 8 leaders actually come out of one of your programs. So this is really, really exciting, I must say. I
think
Look,
just to just shed some light, these 8 youngsters, we actually reached out as Pentagon to actually invite them. You know, our company financed it, and to invite them into this area as they come from broken homes.
Wow.
And I wish I could explain to anyone, but it's so difficult. If you don't experience the impact of just allowing a youngster to sit with their pain, to have a psychological safe environment where they're not going to be judged and where they're going to be given the room to lean into the pain and in the process have the guidance just to find that healing and to allow the natural wiring love, compassion and care through God, our creator, just, you know, to allow the creator to work in his creatures. If you just see, and I know that Johannes might be talking about that now, but just to see these youngsters move, it is, you know, you stand in awe, not to our input and not to our brilliance, but in just how God works through us. And absolutely recalibrate lives for success.
Wow. Talk about winning in this space and in kingdom work that is. Dr. Johannes, I think let me come to you. You know, you often speak of a global leadership crisis. What does this look like in South Africa, and why is our country uniquely positioned to respond?
A topic on its own, but I think it's very important for us to just first clarify what it is that we mean by a global leadership crisis. And, you know, we are of late, we see political leaders really, really, you know, giving us a lot of research to be done on what is constituted, you know, to be good leadership, you know, and the jury is definitely still out on it. But what Johan refers to as the global leadership crisis is in actuality the inevitable result of neglecting the inner development that Johan spoke about. So what we're seeing as the leadership crisis isn't an issue of leadership per se, but the result of neglecting the inner development within these leaders.
Sure.
So when leaders haven't confronted their wounds, it bleeds out on their followers.
Exactly.
The anger and fear and their shame that they haven't worked through yet pours out over their followers. Like, example, Luca, with your friend that you mentioned, you know, it has poured out to the extent where, although she isn't in a brilliant financial position, she doesn't want to return to the workplace because as a follower, the leader's pain has bled out over her. And this is the extent of the global leadership crisis. When they haven't built the resilience, they collapse under the pressure.
Ew.
And that collapse comes out in the form of lashing out to your followers, always being angry, always being fearful that I'm not good enough, always being shameful. And when they haven't discovered their true purpose in life and their higher calling in life, then they seek these power and control things. And then it comes out, you know, as anger, fear, and shame. So in South Africa, we are most definitely, for those of us who are following local politics, facing the same crisis. But we do have a bit of a twist. We have the crisis, but we are at a crossroads. And let me tell you why. South Africa is entering. It's still a bit premature. The futurists think that it's going to hit us at about the year 2050, well, which isn't that far down the line, given all the work that still needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
But we are entering what we refer to as the demographic dividend.
Okay.
Now, the demographic dividend means that your economically active population, your useful population, is going to form the largest part of the country's population.
Okay.
So the largest section of the population or portion of the population can be economically active because they are in that sweet spot of age.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm.
Now, this can both be our biggest asset.
Okay.
But it can also be our biggest threat if we don't respond to it. So if we invest now in the development of these young people, of developing value-driven, emotionally intelligent leaders, we could raise the most adaptive, conscious, leadership-driven generation that this country and, for that matter, the world has ever seen.
Mm.
But, big but.
Big. If I was about to say a very big but.
Very, very big but. Let's rather call it big however, for the sake of radio. If we do not respond to this, you're going to sit with one of the biggest challenges the country has ever faced.
Sure.
Insofar as you're going to sit with a population that is vulnerable, that is disillusioned, disempowered, and at the risk of being co-opted by destructive ideologies, poverty cycles, and despair.
Sure.
We have the capability, or we have this absolute sweet spot that's going to hit us in the next two decades, where we can have the biggest thriving economy on the face of this planet if we optimize and effectively capitalize on this huge influx of economically active population that's going to come through. And this is exactly what we're trying to or endeavoring to change bit by bit at Pentagon. So we at Pentagon see this not only as a leadership challenge, but it's a complete justice imperative, Luko. It goes further than just leadership. It goes into our responsibility into looking after one another in this country. And leadership development is how we can break this generational cycle, how we can ensure equity for you know and transformation for the future. Now, in the South African context, with our past, our rich diversity, spiritual hunger, it makes us uniquely suited to lead the world in this new kind of leadership, one that transcends egos, heals wounds, heals pasts, rebuilds hope. We have all this going for us.
Yeah.
So we don't need to copy what the West have done. They've already proven to us that it doesn't work. So let's not, you know, copy and paste something that doesn't work. We need to become a beacon of our own model and transformation. And we can do this through effective leadership development, which is what we endeavor to do at Pinnacle. So that's what we're trying to do with these young business leaders in our Young Business Leader Development Program. We're not just teaching these young people business acumen. Yes, that's important.
Yeah.
But we are teaching them how to become the best version of themselves.
Sure.
How to become the leader that the world needs in this new world order that that we're, you know, embarking on.
Really, really blessed if you get to be part of, you know, these sessions. I know I am literally just by sitting here and listening to you guys. Here's another one, Dr. Johannes. You know, tell us more about, you know, how you're reaching young people, especially those from disadvantaged backgrounds. I think Dr. Johan did touch on that a little bit as well. And what makes Pinnacle approach so different from the rest? We know there's a lot of all these other platforms or institutions. What makes you so different?
Yeah. So, Luko, I want to draw your attention back to a statement I made in my previous comment. It's a justice imperative. It's not just about leadership development for the haves. You know, if you look at, there are many young leadership development programs out there, but all for those with the biggest amount of respect said for the haves, the individuals that are finished with school that can afford to take a gap year and not go and do anything for, you know, for a year or two. Whereas it becomes, if we want to really capitalize on this idea of the demographic dividend, let's face it, the biggest portion of the demographic in this country is unfortunately not classified as the haves.
True.
We have to make it a point of a justice imperative. And this is why we didn't go out as Pinnacle and just advertise another young leadership development program, take a gap year off of school if you don't know what to do, and come and join our program. No. We went out and we turned to nonprofit organizations, okay, working at the front line with these vulnerable youths. And we asked them to identify school leavers who, despite their circumstances, their background, showed leadership potential, all right? So not just the best marks or perfect resumes.
Wow.
Like Johan said, leadership doesn't start with you know, degrees. Someone with soul potential, people with depth, people with grit, people with hunger to grow.
This is beautiful, Dr. Johannes, because oftentimes we see the criteria is high marks and whatnot, and everybody else who probably struggled is left in the wayside and nobody ever goes back to them.
Exactly. But now the question is, are we going to truly transform if we only focus in on those individuals? Yes, of course. You know, don't be overlooked if you're super smart at school.
Yeah.
Great. You worked hard for it. But that doesn't mean we need to disregard those who didn't
get
80-90s for maths, et cetera, right? Because you can have 120% for maths in matric, you can still be a horrible leader. So the two really don't go hand in hand. So what we did is, Luko, is we approached these MPOs and we got together 8 school leavers.
Mm.
Okay. And through the Young Leadership Development Program with us, yes, we taught them all the business acumen. I mean, truth be told, Johan and I actually just came out of their final presentations that they presented to us.
Wow.
And these presentations were to deliver a fully-fledged business plan to us with financial forecasts and the lot. So they didn't just learn how to write a business plan.
Mm.
We helped them to confront all that pain and trauma that they went through their childhood. And let's face it, sure, those individuals who come through foster care, children's homes, NPOs, they do have very, very difficult, backgrounds in their upbringing. So we worked on their emotional regulation. We taught them how to sit with their traumas, to reframe their identities, and to rebuild their inner game from a place of wholeness. And a place to go. So like Johan rightfully said, one of the exercises that we do with them is called let your old story go.
Wow.
I think I made mention of the book, Luca, last time we spoke, What Got You Here Is Not Going to Get You There. We try to get them to let the old story go so that they can write the new story with purpose and with meaning. A core part of this program, as a matter of fact, all our programs at Pentagon contains this idea of transpersonal coaching. Now, this is a coaching intervention that helps individuals to transcend their ego and rediscover their true self. So it's uncomfortable. Yes, you go with them through the pain, through the trauma. You unpack their egos. It's heavy conversations and it's difficult conversations, to the point where it actually starts bordering on therapy. It really isn't. Transpersonal coaching isn't therapy, but
the outcome is
therapeutic. That's true though. But it's more about inner transformation.
Mm.
It's about guiding that young person to integrate their story, not to escape it.
You're not
going to get rid of your past, but you can't allow your past to dictate your future.
True.
Right? Integrate your story into your life to lead from a healed identity and not from a broken performance-based identity. So just to give you an example, one of the participants that was on this group, a young gentleman from Cape Town, was so hurt and so emotionally shut down upon arrival that this gentleman didn't speak a word.
Sure.
Not one. He was literally a mute around the table.
Sure.
And struggled to make eye contact, struggled to have the confidence to speak up, to say his say. And over this 3 months program, the coaching, the journaling, the group support, the gentle confrontation with past, he found language for his wounds. He was able to articulate it.
Wow. Goosebumps there.
and with that voice there came a sense of purpose.
Mm.
And you know how that purpose permeated is that today he didn't just successfully complete a Pentagon program, he's actually mentoring and training others in his community.
The mute young person.
And this is where God's power is at work. So you know what, Luca, when we work with the youngsters at Pentagon, we're not trying to produce CEOs.
Mm.
We're endeavoring to raise stewards, young leaders who don't just want to win, but who want to serve. We aren't, leaders who aren't leading for applause or for the limelight, but from a sense of alignment. And every time a young person in this country steps into that space, the future landscape of South Africa changes.
You know what it means?
It allows us the opportunity to, even one person at a time, optimize on this demographic dividend that's coming our way in the next 2 decades.
You know what amazes me most, Dr. Johannes, is how this young man came in absolutely mum, saying nothing, and you guys still continued with him as if you knew that in the end that voice would have come out. Just like you guys said, it's not meant to be therapy, but the program in itself is quite therapeutic. I'm so excited to hear that.
Yeah, the outcome, I must say, and it's sort of been an anonymous feedback or synonymous feedback that we got from everybody, is that, yes, the business training is brilliant and top-notch, but, the amount of therapeutic output that or impact that this program has is
that's healing. I mean, this Luca, just to also add to what Johannes is saying, this young gentleman that you know really or initially you know we had to make contact with therapists that he's currently seeing and just to get the whole background and this is a gentleman that was so hurt that there's a neurological problem in terms of thoughts and then the ability to articulate those thoughts through language. This is just how traumatized this young boy was. And then, as what Johannes said, he joins 3 months ago, and there's not a word. And, you know, literally sitting today in awe and listening to him presenting through all the training, the presentation skills, the PowerPoint training, all the business skills, the financial plans, the marketing, what his product is, how he's going to do it, and I mean, you listen to this individual that couldn't articulate anything, and today he pitched a complete business idea.
Sure. And must have been really proud.
And you go, come on. You know, we cannot turn our back on youngsters or anyone that sits with past wounding, because at the end of the day, let us please not underestimate the power of the soul that is wired with love and compassion and care. It is a millionfold stronger than any fear and any shame.
Wow, gentlemen, you know we could go on and on and on. I never want these moments to end. But I'm really, really happy. I'm excited and I'm glad you came back just on time. Thank you for such insightful information. I laughed for a moment there when Dr. Johannes spoke about how you could be so good with your mathematics and your grades are high, but still not be the best leader. I laughed because my mom used to say my twin brother was the intelligent one. I was always the hard worker. And she used to say to him, you know, there's people that have the brains for the books. And there's people who have brains for nature and life. So you can tell which one has brains for nature and life. And as a result, I mean, we're 34 now. My older brother still complains to me. And he says to me, look, your twin brother is clever for the books, but sometimes he walks into things I don't understand. I'm like, a clever boy like you walks so blindly into issues and trouble like this. So I totally agree with you.
Your mother's very wise.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Johannes, and to you, Dr. Johan, thank you so much. We'll catch up in the next 2 weeks again. Stay blessed.
Well, Chad, have a good weekend. Cheers, bye.
We are here 24 hours a day with the message of hope, faith, and love on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.